Grace and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. Our world doesn't like extremes or extremists. When it comes to the weather, we want it neither too hot nor too cold. Just right, like today. And when it comes to politics, electability often means being neither too far to the left nor too far to the right. And when it comes to schools, I want you to give my child homework, but not too much homework. Make my job challenging, but not too challenging. And even maybe, and especially, in matters of faith and religion, don't be too much of a zealot. Don't go too far to one side or the other. The middle is better, because the middle is where you'll offend less people. Think both and, not either or. Not one truth, but many. Not one way, but many ways. Not right or wrong, but it depends. That's the way to go, according to the wisdom of the world, at least. That's for sure. That's the popular narrative. And truthfully, we like being in the middle, you and I. We like being liked and not offending anyone. It's comfortable there in the middle. It's safe. Make my faith demanding, but not too demanding. Needing commitment, but not too much commitment. Forgiving, but I can't be too forgiving. And pastor, be relevant, but don't strike too close to home. Don't ask too much of me, but don't ask too little. Care, but don't pry. Need me, but not too much. Which is why today's gospel is rather difficult for us to hear. Such lukewarm Christianity is rejected by our Lord Jesus. According to his words, there's no middle ground. You either are or you're not. You're in or you're out. You're in him or you're not in him. The same distinction Moses put before the people in Deuteronomy, in the Old Testament reading, just before they were to enter the promised land. What's it going to be, folks? Moses said to them. Life or death? Blessing or curse? God, one God, the true God, or many gods? Well, you know the story. The people said one thing, and then life happened. They found out it wasn't quite so easy. And so they settled for the mushy middle, if you will. And how often does that happen to us? Truth is, we're the same way as they were back then. And when you were confirmed, either as a child or as an adult, you said you'd remain faithful. You made a promise. You promised that even if your life depended on it, you'd be faithful. And I have no doubt that you meant it, as I did when I spoke those words. And then, like Old Testament Israel, life happens. And we find it's harder than we thought to put God before my family, to stand firm and not cave in, to speak up and not just go along with the world's latest truth. It's even harder to put what God wants before what I want, the desires of the flesh I like so much. It's hard to continue to read and learn and pray and trust. I don't want the crosses that God often puts before me. The cost is greater than I thought very often. The commitment is tougher. That kind of life seems downright impossible. So some at that point give up and they move to the opposite extreme, which is sometimes called cheap grace, which is to say, I can't do it, but it doesn't matter because I know Jesus will forgive me anyway, which is to use God's lavish mercy and love as an excuse for laziness, for sin, for being a kino, Christian in name only. And yet, we know that's not right either. That's not the way it should be. And not being able to do the one and knowing that we shouldn't do the other, we settle in the mushy middle, where we become anonymous Christians, bored Christians, neutered Christians, unsalty Christians, which is just exactly the way Satan likes it. Jesus knows the danger of the mushy middle ground and how deadly it can be, both for us and those around us, underestimating the power of sin and the deadly mishmash of mixing truth and error. So what do we do? We can't do the one, we shouldn't do the other. How do we then live as Christians, as disciples of Christ? Well, the answer is not to live in one extreme or the other, and also not to mash them both together in the middle, but to live in both extremes at the same time. Wow, what a paradox that is. That is something quite different from the middle, which tones down and dilutes both the law of God and the gospel of God, and stirs them both together into some lukewarm, unrecognizable Christianity, which is really no Christianity at all. Instead, live in both extremes is to neither tone down nor to tame either the law or the gospel, and keeps them both in full strength and truth and purity. To live in the extreme law, which demands everything of us, and to live in the extreme of the gospel, which demands nothing of us. To live in that way, to live in the extreme law, crushes us and brings us to despair of ourselves and our own efforts, and to live in the extreme of the gospel, which gives us life and hope and forgiveness that we need. Or in other words, to be a Christian takes everything and it takes nothing. And where we see that truth displayed most perfectly is at the cross of Christ, a cross which cost Jesus everything. For Jesus is the one who did count the cost to build the tower, the fortress, the refuge of his church, and to come and pay the full cost in our place. Leaving his throne in heaven, being born of a virgin, despised and rejected by men, and then drinking the full cup of God's wrath against our sin and dying our death. He's the king who came to battle the armies of the prince of this world and didn't ask for peace, but he warred against them and won the fight, giving his all, the fight that we couldn't win. He's the one who loved us more than he loved his own life. And so he gave his life that we might have life. And when he said, "It is finished," on the cross, it really was finished, totally. All that was necessary, all that was demanded, the law fulfilled, sin atoned for, our debt fully paid, and victory won. And what cost him everything cost us nothing. And necessarily so. For if there's something yet we still have to do and pay or supply or finish, then it's not finished, is it? And we still are under the demands of the law and the condemnation of sin and the curse of death. Then Jesus is our only a part Savior, and we're back in the mushy middle, and that just will not do. Because it is finished. We have been saved, rescued, redeemed, and we have a Savior. A Savior to whom, again this morning, we confessed, "I cannot be your disciple. I cannot do it. I have not done it. It's too much for me." And who then said back to us, "Yes, you're quite right. Therefore, I forgive you all your sins. What you cannot be, I give to you. And it's not too much for me." You see, that's the key. Discipleship isn't something we've chosen to do. It's a gift from God, a gift of forgiveness, a life that we've been born again into, born from above into, from Adam and Eve to Abraham and Moses and David and the apostles to you and me today. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and so cannot be his disciples, but are justified by his grace, given what we couldn't do or be through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus our Savior. For you see, Jesus wants all of you, not just part of you, not just the church part or the weekend part or the morning devotion part or the spare time part or the part of you that you want to give him, but he wants all of you all the time. And so he gave his all for you. all that all of you would be forgiven, your entire person would be forgiven. And through his death and resurrection, you might be salty salt again. Not just reformed or recreated, made new all over again, taken back to the very beginning, to Eden, just as if the Satan, sin, rebellion, and death stuff never happened at all. That's how great his love for you is. That's how great his death for you is. And that's how great his baptism, where he made you his own, what he gave you all in that. His forgiveness, his life, his salvation, all that you need, nothing held back, because the Jesus who wants all of you gave all of himself for you. No partial gift from him. No, he's all in for you. Also, even to the eating of his body and drinking of his blood here at the altar, that the life, strength, and forgiveness that you need might be multiplied to you, that you be not all that you can be, but all that he is, being the Christian that he has made you by his life blood. So don't try to soften the words of Jesus today. Don't say, oh, he said this, but he means that. No, they're hard words, to be sure, but they're meant to crush you and to kill you, that Jesus might raise you from the dead to a whole new life in him. For that's the only way to be his disciple. And only then can you live as a disciple of Jesus, following his way, which is to give all of himself for others. And if you do something by your own strength, you can't do that. But if you know that you're a child of God and that he's promised you and given you all that you need, then you can live where God has placed you and put you, like Jesus, receiving from him continually and giving it always to others, not loving them above God, but loving God by serving them. It won't be easy. There's some very tough places in this world, and some of you are in them, and maybe like Onesimus, who we heard about today in the epistle, you feel like running away from people and places where God has put you. But what did Paul do? He sent Onesimus back to where he was to follow Jesus, to love and to serve and to forgive. And his returning also gave his master, Philemon, an opportunity to follow Jesus too, to love and to forgive as well, to live out his calling as a Christian too. So where you are right now may not be an easy spot, but whatever and wherever your callings, know that your Savior is using you there in those places, not because you're able, but because he is able, not because of yourself, but because he's working through you to love and to serve and to forgive and care for others, providing for them, and even he takes care of your needs as well. He knows what you need better than you know, and he's promised to provide. So while Jesus' words today are hard, none of us likes being told that we're not able to do something. They're also comforting words, knowing that you don't have to live up to a certain standard to be here, to be Christ and to be his disciple. You are here because, not because you're able, because you're not, but because he is able. Able to wash you, able to body and blood you, able to forgive you and bless you in the church that he built, in the war that he won, and the life that he gives to you, all of you. He who has ears to hear, let him hear the voice of the Savior, the voice which speaks, and it is so, which gives what we cannot have, what we do not have, and creates what is not. Still today, still here, still now, that you might be what you are not and could never be on your own, namely his disciple. It's the voice that his voice that makes all the difference in the world, in you and in your life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.